McDaniels open. Strokes a three-pointer that tumbles short. Loose ball gathered by Dalvin. It's over. 10 seconds left. He will dribble it out. The number one seed, Young Thunder, rise at home in the Western Conference Finals to seize command of this series. Up 2 games to none now, holding home court with back-to-back double-digit impressive victories.
Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio, good morning. Yeah, at one point the lead was 24. Minnesota tried to make a game of it, but they could not. Pro, maybe your prediction that this entire championship is OKC's to lose could right. But beyond that, and beyond what happened last night, and Thunder, you know, they go up 2-0 on their home court. So, you know, not yawn, but expected. Not against type. Here's a question for you. Just 1 year ago, not long ago, we were making comparisons of Anthony Edwards and Michael Jordan. And while that seemed a little crazy at the time, it was something that was being talked about, not just by, you know, hot takers and, you know, people who you roll your eyes at, but people who legitimately are basketball people as well. It feels like we are getting further and further away from that. And as we, and it's not that Ant doesn't still have, you know, jaw-dropping moments and really exciting plays, but when we're talking about who's going to eventually take the torch from LeBron James or Steph Curry as ascending to like the guy in the NBA, I think the idea that it was going to be Anthony Edwards now looks like a mirage.
Well, to be fair though, people were saying style-wise, he's like Jordan. He has a very similar turnaround jumper, and he has these crazy dunks where he flies through the lane a la Michael Jordan. I don't think people were saying, you know what I mean. It wasn't exactly like he's the Michael Jordan of the sport.
Well, and he hadn't still done the winning yet, obviously.
Right, but he still looks like Michael Jordan in a sense. But I think no one, when you look back on those takes, everyone's like, yeah, style, it's kind of like how Cam Ward came out of the draft, the Miami quarterback, and looked like Patrick Mahomes. We weren't saying he's Patrick Mahomes. But anyway, that's beside your point. We were saying, yes, Anthony Edwards could ascend to be the face of the league. And I still think he could. Obviously, this current team is going to have trouble winning. If he's Batman, his Robin is Julius Randle's 30 years old, and you saw the flaws come out last night. Mike Conley's even older. He's 35. So I think that Anthony Edwards, to ascend to what we're talking about, has to be a championship player. He's definitely not there yet. He can't carry a team alone. He's not quite good enough like Michael, in my opinion, Michael Jordan was. So, yeah, but he's 23. I just think that, you know, we're not quite sure what the future of Anthony Edwards is. We don't know. The story is not written. This team, as it's currently constituted, is not going anywhere. But how do we know what it's going to look like when he's 27, which is a championship age in NBA?
Okay, so a couple things there. First of all, you're right. He does not have the right cast around him. And even, you know, getting to the Western Conference Finals in back-to-back years, it did feel like these teams were flawed. You did see Julius Randle, not to put everything on him, but he was really good in game one, at least in the first half. He was kept them in the game. 2-for-11, 0-for-3. He had 6 points. 6 points. That's not going to do it. Obviously, Jaden McDaniels has been really good as a defensive player, but the whole way that and had 22 last night, but the whole way the team is constituted, and be honest, you know, they said that Anthony Edwards last night broke Kevin Garnett's like all-time postseason scoring record in eight fewer games. Yeah, and it just drove the point home. Like, yes, Minnesota doesn't have a championship DNA, not even close for the Timberwolves. So are you so sure? Like when Michael Jordan had to get over the hump against the Pistons or against the Boston Celtics, people didn't like Jerry Krause, but he came in and built a team in two separate, basically, almost two different dynastic teams around Michael Jordan. Do you think that person is coming to Minnesota? Do you think they are going to be able to field a team around Anthony Edwards that's actually going to make him, you know, give a better shot of being the face of the league?
Well, here's the thing. It's the NBA. Now there used to be an era of dynasties. Now the championship switches every single year. So, yes, I think he's 23. I have no idea what the Timberwolves are going to look like in 5 years. I'll tell you right now, most of the players we saw with him last night will not be there.
Yep.
Some of them are going to age out of the league. I don't think obviously Gobert, Randall, and Mike Conley are not going to be there in 5 years. They'll be retired. So I just think that, yeah, I have no idea where this is going
to
go.
Does he have to leave Minnesota?
Well, I was actually wondering that, too. Is he's going to be kind of on a Giannis collision course to get out of a small market. He seems perfectly happy now, but Kevin Durant seemed perfectly happy in Oklahoma City at 23. I just think the story is not written on Anthony Edwards. And even last night, obviously, he's not even close to the best player in this series.
That's the second MVP year in a row. because Luka outplayed him last year in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, this team shouldn't even be in the Western Conference Finals. They probably would have lost to the Warriors if Steph Curry didn't get hurt. They were the underdogs of that series. So we know the Timberwolves won 49 games this year. There wasn't a lot of... Nobody said coming into this playoffs, Anthony Edwards is better with a title or it's going to be a disappointment. They weren't really a thing this year. They kind of fell apart after last year, right? Were we even thinking about Anthony Edwards when this playoff started? Not at all. He wasn't even part of the narrative.
Well, to be honest, though, it's not like he's going away in our lives. He went to the Western Conference Finals, got badly outplayed by Luka, played on the Olympic team.
Outplayed by Luka. He was exhausted at that point. He was carrying that team on his back.
Okay, but we're doing the bar of are you face the league type stuff, so I don't really want to hear fatigue. And then, you know, obviously easy for me to say from the couch, but I'm just saying as an argument. And then the other part, he goes to the Olympic team, believes he's the best player on the team, will say that because he's an irrational confidence guy and
definitely
super confident in himself, and that's fine. But didn't really get a ton of burn. When we were talking about crunch time, when it was against Serbia, when it was against France, that was not Anthony Edwards' time. Not even close.
So what? Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'm saying he was on this trajectory rocket ship, and I heard more compliments for Cooper Flagg coming out of that Olympic cycle than I did for Anthony Edwards. And so then
That's an exhibition game.
No, but here's the thing. Then you're right. They go into this season, and it was nothing. The follow-up, but here they
are.
The
team fell apart.
But here they are, back in the Western Conference Finals. So you're like, all right, here comes the Anthony Edwards engine. We're revving this thing up again. Not the media, him, by his play. Here he is again in the Western Conference Final and getting badly outplayed by the MVP and SGA.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, Anthony Edwards drives into the lane, has three defenders on him, kicks it out for a corner three, and it is a brick every time.
Yeah,
what do you expect? These guys aren't hitting a shot around him. How many times has he created an open three?
Well, he can't hit a three either, to be fair. He's 1-for-9 last
night. Is there 1 second where anyone is watching anyone on Minnesota except for him? Naz Reid has lost his confidence. There's just nobody else who can hit a shot. Seriously, how many times did he drive in the lane and get an open three for people? It must have been at least a dozen. And it amounted to nothing. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You switch places with SGA and Anthony Edwards in this series. Who wins? Because SGA is definitely, I'll give you, he's a better player right now, no doubt. He's 3 years older.
Right.
He's perfect for, especially with the officials having such a low quality of a low bar being able to call a player like that.
Oh, it was a foul fest last night.
Yeah. And it's always going to be that. So, my thing, I was actually thinking about this. What is the one team that could cover Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
The one team that... Oh, OKC.
OKC. Yeah. They would be all over that guy. Minnesota has nobody. Minnesota has... Jaden McDaniels doesn't have a chance. If they try...
He's a good defender, but...
Nah, he really is not that good.
Got frustrated
defender.
Last night, pushed Shai in the back, two hands.
I think that it'd be interesting. I would like to see that series because I will give you SGA's way ahead of Anthony Edwards right now, but I think Minnesota has no defensive answer for him. I think nobody has a defensive answer for him, but OKC would be interesting. So let's talk about face of the league. So if you're not going with Anthony Edwards, are you going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
So this is where you and I will differ on what constitutes an exciting play. And this is where Perloff and I will never agree. I'm curious what the audience thinks at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think you can still be exciting playing the way that Shai plays, and you don't think so. Because he's not a dunker like Jordan was, but he's got the mid-range game. And last night, there was more comparisons for Shai for Jordan and Kobe as far as his mid-range game goes.
Right.
Did you think that Kobe was an exciting player?
Yeah, but Kobe was some of the all-time greatest dunks I've ever seen.
Okay, but, well, I feel like Jordan Kobe is more remembered as the dunker than Kobe as far as in-game dunks.
Yeah,
but Kobe's got a couple of great highlights. This is flying towards the basket on a one-hand jam. I can see it in my mind's eye now.
Kobe would use the rim and do like Dr. J kind of moves. Yeah, Kobe was spectacular. I don't think Kobe was much, much more than the mid-range.
Well, okay.
Yeah, he was exciting. Yeah, there's no flair to SGA's game.
I don't think so. The body contortion, like this is just where you and I are going to disagree.
Think about what was the highlight last night? What, he backed down Dante DiVincenzo and hit an 8-foot bank shot? He's like the guard version of Tim Duncan. There was no highlight last night.
There were cool highlights. So they were up by 20.
Cool highlights. What, a 9-foot jumper? It's like, oh my God, did you see that 9-foot jumper? I got to text this to my friend. What are you talking about?
Contorting
what cool
his
highlights?
Body in the lane, getting and ones. It was exciting. He's just not a 3-point guy or a dunk guy, but I don't think that means he can't be like Look at that crowd. I mean, you think...
What about them?
They're electric in there. And they're doing it because of Shea. Yeah, a couple of fun lobs to Chet Holmgren, who looks, you know, looks really good, and that's really fun. But SGA is fine.
I actually was wondering, why is the crowd not moving more? I thought for a second...
They're really loud.
They're loud, but they look so still. I actually got that from you. There's something weird going on.
No, it's that they're all wearing the same shirt.
Is that why they... Yeah. I'm like, why aren't they standing... Like, the Knicks crowd is everyone standing up and running around and going crazy. The Thunder are very obedient. The Thunder fans.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, but what's the difference? Basically, SGA and Luka are the same player. Either of them... How can either... Who's the face of the league? And Jokic, they're all... Yes, they're MVP types, but to be face of the league, you have to have so much flair and persona. And I just don't see SGA really achieving that. That's why, even though he's not nearly as good a player, Anthony Edwards has a better chance than me.
There is this, it's just like jockeying for position now. This is the second time in my lifetime that we've seen something like this, because it was post-Jordan. People were jockeying for position, and it felt to me like for most of it, Allen Iverson really took a lot of that. Kobe and Shaq had like the dynasty, but as far as jaw-dropping plays, you know, charisma... For the culture, Iverson was more of like a total package, whereas Kobe and Shaq were like demolishing teams.
So I think what happened when the Jordan void after 98 happened, it was sort of like we're waiting. And then he was delivered to us.
Well, LeBron, obviously.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the same.
Wait till 03.
I don't think we know the face of the league yet. I think he hasn't even arrived yet. I think he might be in San Antonio.
But okay, you want to talk about Wemby. But here's the thing about Wembanyama. If you don't think Luka, they're very different, but if you think there's like an anti-European bias, if Giannis was never able to rise to that level, if you think because he's from Greece, I mean, I didn't think so. I thought Giannis was and is like trying, and let's see if where he goes. But Luka being in the LA, I think, is going to help. I know the NBA, it doesn't almost matter what market you're in, which is cool for the league. That's awesome, right? You want to be able to be in any market and be the face. Like Durant was as famous as anybody playing in OKC. But I think Luka in LA might skyrocket.
Does he have to win a title?
Well, yeah, it's the Lakers. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Luka never dunks. I mean, he makes jokes about it. He has some of the fewest dunk numbers of anybody in the NBA.
I know, but he's got a new trainer now.
Yeah, but he generally does not like to dunk the basketball. Look at his dunk numbers. They're shocking. For a 6'7", 6'8" guy, I just think his style is not quite there. Is there a lot of flair?
Does a dunker have to be the face of the NBA?
Who've been the faces?
Steph has been a face. He doesn't dunk.
Johnson and Larry were not dunkers.
That's true. No, but they had so much flair to their game.
Wemby needs a rival.
I don't think Luka has that much flair. You think so? I think he dribbles around and draws a foul. Or
Luka's passing and some of the stuff he does. Yeah, he has a lot of flair. Definitely.
I think he does too. And he wears the emotions on the sleeve. And he's, you know, that's the one thing about Jokic that I think really, besides Jokic kind of having that, we joke around, that sort of old man game.
Yeah.
He also doesn't do any of the on-court stuff that like gets people really riled up.
But he actually, like Jokic's game has, just like Luka, yeah, he'll make those really cool Larry Bird style passes. But again, there's something missing in the formula. Maybe it's because he is a foreign player and he won't. I don't think Luka has sense of that.
See, I think the foreign thing is over. I think that's old. Because
so you think it'll be Luka?
I think it can be. Maybe it's Wemby, but he's say healthy now. And I worry about that. I mean, it's a unique body type. To be fair, though, I thought Chet was going to have a lot of trouble staying healthy. He missed his whole first year, and he looks amazing. So.
But I think it's a uniqueness, too. It's not just you know, the fact that Wemby is French or whatever. I just think we've never seen this. So Steph Curry became a quote-unquote face of the league because we've never seen a guy shoot from 10 feet beyond three. We've never seen a LeBron. We've never seen a Jordan. We've never actually seen a Magic and a Bird, a 6'9 point guard with incredible vision. So I think
he started a finals game at center.
James Harden's basically righty. I mean, sorry, Luka's righty James Harden. We've seen exactly how he plays to me. Also, too, this foul merchanting thing. I know I'm going to sound like an annoying podcaster. Like, I just don't love the way SGA and Luka and Jalen Brunson just try to get a player on their back and draw a foul. And it takes a lot of skill, but it's kind of boring.
Well, I mean, does that take a little two to tango, right? Like, you got to be calling. They were calling everything last night. I think Scott Foster, one of the referees from last night, was upset because he got hit in the nose and started bleeding profusely from his
Lou Dort.
Yeah, he got hit on a jump ball that he threw up in the air, and it was inadvertent. The guys came down and hit him right in the nose, and he was really bleeding. And I think he was just a little like a, you know.
But
like wanted to make sure he didn't get take another shot. So he was like, hey, pipe down, guys.
I think also, he's like, I know I'm going to get embarrassed because I basically have a tampon sticking out of my nose right now. So I'm calling everything. Did it not look like that?
I did.
Always does.
But here's the thing. If we're having this conversation, we're throwing five players into the face of the NBA conversation that we don't have a face of the NBA. And honestly, the way the championship keeps moving around now and there's no dynasties, I'm not sure it's going to be easy to achieve this. I don't even know if the face is here yet. Maybe he's an 11th grader. Maybe it's Bronny James.
Maybe it's Boogie Flynn.
I think that when we're talking face
is
of the NBA.
Bronny James. That's
super transcendent. Bryce. I mean, super transcendent. With the names we're talking about, LeBron, Kobe, Jordan. I'm not sure that any of these guys.
But I think it goes back to what you were saying, Pearl, is that I think we're looking for a face, but first we need to find a winner. We don't have a winner right now. We don't
A consistent one.
Yeah. We have guys who have won one-offs. And then we have some guys that are trying to win their first right now who are kind of claiming they're going to be the face in the NBA. But none of these guys, when you talk about Mike, talk about Magic, Bird, Steph Curry, LeBron James, those guys were winners. So yep. I think in terms of finding a face, you're going to have to find a guy who actually can win at a high level on a consistent basis.
But the salary cap's going to screw you on that. The new, we had Joe Vardon here. He's like, this league is set up to break up teams now, like, or not allow super teams. So I don't know, could LeBron's Heat team could not exist now?
Yeah, but at the same time, I also wonder, because we didn't have super teams, and I know we had teams that were very talented, but we didn't have artificially created super teams in those other eras. So I'm not necessarily so sure that you can't get a super team in today's NBA. It's going to be a little different.
Well, also, LeBron had already ascended to face of the NBA before he went to Miami. He had not won yet. But he was already the guy. I mean, he had been to the finals, you know, I want to say single-handedly, but basically, I think he was already there. All that was left was winning the title.
He's such a unicorn, though, because his skill set was so unique. I mean, the fact that he was 6'9 and could finish like that and pass the ball like that, that's the thing. LeBron was special. So I think SGA is amazing. I think Luka's amazing and Jokic is amazing. It's just, are they going to stand out as so different? I don't think so. EJ, when you said that, do you guys think the Thunder are going to win enough that SGA could be that guy? Can they win four titles?
Well, yeah. I mean, I wonder with the Thunder, because they are a super young team. Like, and they're a team that has a bunch of draft capital, and they're going to have to start paying guys, but they're still not there yet. So they're in a position where they're not going anywhere. They're going to be a contender for at least the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but did we think that about last year's Celtics and the Nuggets in 2022?
The Celtics are way older.
Yeah, Nuggets already got expensive.
Yeah, and the Nuggets also way older. The Nuggets were playing Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
And they could have kept those guys. They just got cheap.
Right, but they would already play Jamal Murray a ton. Obviously, Jokic plays
like
a ton.
Jamal Murray's 25. No, at the time.
And they also had to pay, like, Aaron Gordon gets paid like a super, you know, super role player. These guys are not cheap.
They didn't want to get into the third apron or whatever. They cheaped out on their role players. I mean, at the time when they won, Jokic was 28, Murray was 25, Aaron Gordon was 27 or something. They could have been a team.
But the reality of the Thunder is a lot of their guys are under control. Like, Shea's going to sign an extension. Jalen's still on a rookie contract. Chet's still on a rookie contract. Cason Wall's still on a rookie contract. So there's going to be a window here. Maybe in 4 years, maybe 3 years, maybe some of those guys aren't here. But the core of the team is going to stay. Now, maybe you lose a Caruso. Maybe you lose a Lou Dort in the next few years. But the core is still there. Those other teams, they lost key parts of their core. And that was the reason why they couldn't sustain themselves.
I kind of view the Thunder as SGA and 11 really good role players. I honestly don't think, Jalen Williams might be a star, but generally, all-star. Like, that is not, they're a very interesting team. Like, you said Cason Wallace, Alex Caruso, like, are these guys even that good?
Well,
I don't even know.
But these are the kind of role players that you want, right? Where it's like, yeah, maybe they're role players, but Lou Dort made all NBA. Defensive, right?
So right, but you're Lou Dort was NBA. A journeyman.
No, I know, but now
this is the only team he's played on.
You're an all NBA defensive guy
again. But
these are the type of role players that you want.
But is Lou Dort right? But they're
and
role
Chet
players.
Chet Holmgren was the second overall.
Yeah, Chet Holmgren, second overall pick. Jalen Williams, lottery pick. Cason Wallace, lottery pick. Like you're talking about guys who are not guys who Lou Dort was undrafted, but those other guys are not.
I don't know. It feels like
picks.
Feels like Caruso is. You know, they have. I just think there's one A plus and a lot of B's around them. I guess you guys view them as I don't see that's how I see the team, but
they're so young, Pearl. Like you don't think Chet Holmgren is going to get better than he is now?
No, he'll be good, but right now it feels like SGA and the Puppeteers, like, or whatever. Like it feels like he's the central star, and then everybody around him is sort of like a B-plus, which is an interesting formula.
But they're winning 68 games, then why is he a face of the NBA? Like, you're saying he's doing it with a bunch of Bs or in Cs, and they're dominating the NBA. Then that says a lot about what Shea's doing right now, no?
Yeah, it does. No,
especially
it's incredible.
The West.
But I think that's a good formula. Nobody else has eight Bs. I mean, Minnesota's bench is terrible.
Okay, we're asking you, who will emerge as the face of the league? Is it one of the guys who's playing right now? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Meanwhile, Jason Tatum never made it in this conversation. Jaylen Brown. They are the reigning champs for a couple more weeks, even though Tatum's hurt now. Okay, lots more to do, including, speaking of hoops, and we mentioned LeBron here, apparently some tension right now between LeBron and the Lakers.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a relatively easy offseason. Turns out nothing is ever easy when it comes to the Lakers. Shame on me. We also have an update for you on the San Francisco 49ers and the latest details. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I was just telling Maggie I had spent about an hour yesterday trying to figure out how to stop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the basketball.
Oh, what'd you come up with?
Have a really short, incredibly fast, incredibly strong defender, a guy who's 6'2", who is going to stop Shai's dribble, because Shai dribbles wherever he wants. So does Luka Doncic. So does Jalen Brunson. Why does the league? I think the league wants tall wings go short, because when I was playing high school basketball 100,000 years ago, tall guys hate short, fast guys. Mm-hmm. They don't want to dribble. They don't want to be pestered. But my friend Uma pointed out the officials call anytime you reach for Shai's dribble. It's like they don't even wait to see what happens. Just call whistle. So you got to stop him from walking. He gets in the paint on every play. Every single play, he is in the paint. Nobody can stop him. So you got to stop his dribble. Easier said than done.
So who is this person in your mind? Who is this short defender? I'm like, it's not Gary Payton was 6'4". Like, who is this person?
His name is Maurice Purnell. He was
a year younger than
me. I mean, would he match up with me at practice?
Where is he now? A CPA in Philadelphia?
Yeah, probably. I have no idea. This person doesn't exist yet.
Create him in a lab.
But you think about a lot of what's the ideal defensive player. You would have thought it was Jaden McDaniels, right? 6'5", fast, long, can get his hand up. But he can't stop SGA's dribble ever. So I don't know. Low man, you know what made me think about it? We talked about the tush push yesterday a lot. Jason Kelsey, low man wins. So why not get a low man? I don't know who this guy is. I'm thinking of like a Houston Cougar basketball. Isn't this guy exist? I don't know. EJ,
does
you follow college hoops really
closely.
Does low man
win in basketball? Big man wins.
Well,
in basketball.
I don't know. Get underneath SGA's dribble. Is there EJ? You know the college game really well. Is there a guy like this that exists
in college currently? Not really.
Oh, LJ Cryer, Houston, or so one of these guys get underneath SGA's dribble instead of being.
He ain't doing nothing with Shai Gilgeous.
Yeah, what are you going to try to feed him to the wolves?
I need somebody who's super fast and you can't just dribble around. Like Iverson, but defensive oriented.
Iverson didn't play that kind of defense.
He didn't play any defense.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think the best way to play them is you got to zone them.
I think that's a little bit
what Denver did, and Denver had some success at parts in the series. You got to zone them and hope that they don't shoot over the top. But his handle was so crafty. And he's so good at drawing contact that staying in front of him is impossible. And to be fair, this is how he was in college.
Right.
He was impossible to stay in front of him in college, too.
Well, I mean, he gets a whistle. He doesn't necessarily draw contact. I mean, if a guy gets within, you know, if the breeze of Jaden McDaniels' arm is within 9 feet of SGA, the whistle is blown. So he gets the whistle.
Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Jamie is in Dallas. Thinks Perloff's being a hater. What's up, Jamie?
Oh, my Lord, bro. Slow down on the haterade this morning. He's not this. He's not that. You're talking about Pete Patrick Beverly, first of all. And that person that they don't have a spot in today's NBA for. There's no 6'2 players in the NBA. That doesn't exist anymore. You have to be a albatross like Steph Curry and say that doesn't exist. Moving on. Listen, was Dr. J outgoing, big mouth, talked a lot? No, he was very stylistic. Mm. When he spoke, he chose his words. He was very intelligent. He was one of the first real faces of the league. Was Larry Bird a big personality? Did he do a bunch bunch of interviews that he didn't know none of that stuff. So you couldn't be farther wrong. Shea is a fashion icon. He's one of the most, he leans into the culture more than you can even imagine. You're showing your age. You're showing the fact that the NBA may not really be your strong suit with all the hate here.
But these Jamie, guys what about, aren't this, these forget guys the aren't outside that. Stuff. What about style of play? He's a mid-range player.
Mid-range player, that's where the soft spot is. Everybody's trying to dunk and shoot the threes. Go where the least friction is. That's what he's doing. That area is there for him because of the spacing that happens in today's game, because of the metrics of get a three or get a layup. That's right. What he's doing. Now, on the other side of that, these guys are all 25-year-olds that are about to win their first of what's going to be multiple rings.
Okay.
So whether they're Bs or whatever, in your mind, as 25-year-old, Chet Holmgren's never played a full season, but it's coming, all right? These guys are like,
here's the thing that Perloff is saying. We've had 7 different champions in the last 7 years, so multiple rings. Let's have them win one, okay? And OKC, it looks like it's theirs to lose this year, but are you really sure they're going to be able to put together multiple?
Yeah, with this team, with this youth.
Said it about the Nuggets, said it about the Celtics. And I'm not saying that the Nuggets and Celtics can't still win multiple rings. It could be out there. But I think that Perloff's right about one thing. He may not be a Shea as a fashion icon, although don't sleep on Perloff, Paris Fashion Week. Yeah. He's got all the updates.
Now, but here's the thing. Let me ask you this.
But dynasties may be going away for a little bit.
Sure. I mean, just like the fact that the last 7 NBA MVPs, none of them are born in the NBA. And that's just where we are right now. Yeah. I mean, none of them were born in the USA. But if you had any thought or understanding of the current NBA economics, you would have saw that this thing with the Celtics was not going to be sustainable. This is before they bring Horford and Hauser back, they're looking at a $493 million salary and luxury tax bill next year. That's not going to happen. You can't do that.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, like what I'm saying is like the basis for the entire conversation that you're putting forth today is extremely dated. And it just, you're not looking through the lens of now.
I got to stand up for my guy for one second here. Not that Perloff needs my help. The one thing that you have not answered in my opinion, well, because you have a really well thought out argument here and it's a great call and we're glad you called us up this morning. But to say that Shea's game is exciting just because he's zagging away from dunks and threes, that doesn't hold water. Perloff is still right about this. Shea can be effective in the mid-range. A lot of guys can be effective in the mid-range, but he's talking about excitement, highlight plays that draw in casuals. You haven't answered that question yet. Just because he can get a lot of points and zag in the mid-range doesn't mean it's exciting.
I'll answer that.
Okay?
Yeah. I'll answer that. Today's NBA is not what you're talking about. It's a 3-point shooting contest
and
a bunch of high pick and roll, and that's it. And there is no more physicality. There is no more, you know, it's not Vince Carter and Dominique Wilkins dunking because there's too much size and length on the floor because you got 6'9" at the 3 and the 2 on some teams. So that stuff you're talking about, it doesn't exist anymore.
Okay,
and that's just a fact.
Okay, but highlights still exist. And by the way, I don't know if the physicality is totally out. I get what you're talking about, but I watched Knicks Pistons, and that looked pretty physical. And I heard, who was it, Steve Kerr saying this looks like the 90s with the Warriors and the Houston Rockets. So there is a place for the game for physicality. It just looks different.
What was the score of those games?
Like 88 to 85.
So Jamie,
it's like the 90s again.
Who is your face of the NBA then? Who's the LeBron, Jordan? Who's the singular star?
I think that, you know, obviously I live in Dallas. You know, there was a push out there. There was people on, and especially on the media side, that were wanting that to be Luka.
Yeah.
All right. But the fact of the matter, and I hate that they traded him. I hate all that. Whatever. But listen, he's a petulant, selfish individual who doesn't play defense. Like it that doesn't translate well. Like, but this current era is statistics driven and metrics driven, and like you're trying to fit this into this idea of like 20 years ago, and that's just not where the league currently is, well, is what I'm trying to drive home here.
And you are. You know, you're making a great point. I'm sorry. We got a couple other people here. Fantastic call all around. A plus, Jamie, like on your game this morning. So thank you for that. I think that Jamie's answer, not to put words in his mouth, is that there is not a face of the league right now, and none of these guys are going to be it. maybe not. Yeah. Maybe I don't want to take his argument. He does think that OKC could be a dynasty, or win multiple titles. So maybe it is Shea, but...
But he's also right. Vince Carter is my favorite player of all time, and I knew he wasn't going to win a title. So I'm not disagreeing with Jamie on that front.
Yeah, I mean, he also... Was Vince ever really the face of the league?
Well, the funny thing is the media never got into Vince, but like any all-star vote or fan vote was he blew out everybody. Mm. Like the fans knew Vince. The media was a little behind on Vince, I always thought. And then now we look back on him. Richard Jefferson said that people would line up around the block to watch Vince Carter practice. Like he is the most spectacular athlete in the NBA that we've seen this millennium.
See you guys on the phones. Want to keep talking about this. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Gordon Damer with us this morning on Updates. What's up, G?
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. This Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I enjoy other people's pain.
Yeah, we'll have some of that a little bit later in the update. But first off, game one of the Western Conference Finals. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander started off just 2-for-13 from the floor back in game one. Safe to say, last night he has found his stroke.
Giving to Shai down the lane, floats it on the run, banks it home left-handed on Alexander Walker, and gets a bang for his bucket. Oh, what a play by Shai. SGA, so good always.
Yeah, Matt Pinto, the call on Thunder Radio. Thunder take game two of the Western Finals, 118-103, so they didn't lead that series 2-0. OKC dropping the hammer in the third quarter, outscored Minnesota 35-21. Never look back. SGA finished with 38 on the night. He gets his MVP award.
Felt really good. I feel like my emotions were like so high that I was like a little bit like tired out there, especially the start. I was like a little too juiced up, but yeah, special moment.
Yeah, and another special moment when SGA saw that Chris Paul, his former teammate, was in attendance. They became friends in his first season in OKC.
It was amazing. Caught me off guard. I had to like double take. I was like, who's that sitting with my wife? I got a little tight, but then I seen it was Chris. I was like, all right, cool.
I didn't know if that double take was the double check, the crossover to the State Farm commercial. I thought maybe.
I mean, usually when a man's like, who's that sitting next to my wife?
Is that Timothy Chalamet at the Knicks game?
Right. Well, Chris Paul, there's some, you know. Back to you, Gordon.
All right.
I know where you were going with that.
It's the internet, guys. It's not substantiated. Back to you.
You went right up to the ledge, and it took me a second to get there.
I'm sorry. I can't go with it.
Why?
It's too much of an internet rumor, EJ.
It's not an internet rumor. The guy said it himself.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Ye said something about Chris Paul and his former wife.
Okay.
You guys didn't take the rest.
All right. There you go. Yes. Kanye said something about his former wife and Chris Paul. Not substantiated. Kanye West, probably the last person you'd ever want to believe anything coming out of his mouth right now. It was out there.
Sex is great and all, but I mean.
Timberwolves were led by Anthony Edwards, who had 32. Julius Randle, looking like the Nick Julius Randle in the playoffs. 6 points on 2 of 11 shooters.
Gordon. that cut particularly close to home
Gordon,
with those
you come
guys.
Off like such a nice guy, but geez.
Tonight is game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks trying to pick up the pieces after that game one overtime loss. Since the 96-97 season, teams that have trailed by 7 points or more, this is a lot here, and a lot of math early in the morning. I apologize. 7 points or more in the final 50 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime are 4-1,702. 3 of those 4 wins have come from the Pacers in this year's postseason.
Wow. It's not a fluke.
I love we've you been doing these numbers the last 48 hours. You need scientific notation to calculate the odds of the Pacers winning yesterday. Like 1 in 1,000
factorial.
Yeah,
we did
these numbers yesterday. They're, all of them are incredible.
I would not trust myself with any of these numbers. Like, I don't know how you go about finding out this information,
but I would have to
double check my. I still wouldn't put it out there. I wouldn't have the confidence in my math skills.
Well, we know that freak Elias, he has too much time on his hands. He goes out and checks everything.
Yeah, Eli, man, get a life. I would last at one of those stat places I don't even think I'd last till lunch. Yeah. They'd be like, Maggie, can you look up this? I'd be like, no.
But you do bring up a good point. They could just be wildly making things up, and who's going to double check them?
Well, when it's the Associated Press, I'm like, that's as rock solid as Magic's Twitter feed. I mean, yeah. It's just the facts.
Well, they don't really do those stats. It's Elias and used to be Stats, Inc. I don't know where Daryl Morey came from.
Yeah.
They use algorithms and AI to figure this out, right?
Do you think it's a bunch of people, like with a pad and pen?
They have a computer program to figure this out where they throw all the data in. I don't know.
I like the better theory that it's a legion of nerds that are just like calculating. So if you carry the two over here to the five, the Pacers had a 0.0003% chance of winning, and they won the game. Wow.
24/7. They don't leave. 365 days a year, they're just there.
That someone's chained to a desk. Mm-hmm. How about Jamie giving a nerd Perloff voice, which we kind of just we let that go. That was pretty good.
Well, I don't, Jamie the caller? Yeah. My daughter does that to me.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Daryl Morey is really like, he spent 5 years doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Like that, you could become a GM if you can crunch those made up numbers.
I can't do it.
Gordon's right, though. These are all
you
fake.
You can crunch those made up numbers. Don't you think when you watch old movies about like NASA and things like that, and people did not have computers then, it's like, how did anyone get back into the Earth's atmosphere with just a pad and pen and like a protractor?
Great point. I have no idea.
That's what's the problem. We have this issue in America where the education, because of the COVID year, a lot of people are off.
Right.
And a lot of kids are behind. That's what we need to do. All these young kids that like basketball say, hey, you know what? We're going to grab a legion of you guys, and you're going to crunch the numbers of how the hell the Pacers won that game last night. Yep. Sure, you'll get those kids invested in math again.
Indianapolis local middle school has to figure this out. I don't know if you guys had this. I know we got to get to a break. But when I was in school, I learned averages through baseball.
Yeah, me too.
That's how they
me
taught too. Us in school. Or that was like not how, but they added that in.
Well, we didn't do
they
it
would
in
take
school.
The Binghamton Mets, and we would have to calculate their batting averages.
Those
they
are
were
called
all,
the Rumble Ponies now.
All so bad.
I learned it from the back of baseball cards.
Yeah,
same here. My dad, a lot of times, he would say, all right, so you saw Patrick Ewing score 25 yesterday, and he had 27 today. What's his average? Like, we used to do that all the time in the car. Helped a lot. Helped
I was
a
just
That's
getting
pretty
yelled.
Easy one.
I would just be getting yelled at, what, seven
Nuns.
Times six?
Yeah.
My stall technique was, well, that would be like the same as six times seven, right? Just answer the question. You know?
Why are you guys such nerds?
Yeah. Math was not a strong point in the Damer household.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We got to take a quick break. Let's
Dorcas
leave it there.
Dorcas Malorcas.
Yeah, Dorcas Malorcas. We see you guys on the phones. OKC is the next dynasty. Shea is the next face of the NBA. We had a robust call from Jamie in Dallas. Said that's, well, he said a lot of things. Said Perloff's not getting. He's not getting the magic. Shea magic.
Drinking Haterade.
You're drinking Haterade. They have flavors of that? 888-710-4ISN.
Give me some lemon lime.
Me too. 888-710-4476. Come on back. Haterade is what you guys are drinking. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Robust conversation this morning on this fun Friday about who's the next face of the NBA and could it be Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Thunder up 2-0 on Minnesota. And we were kind of saying, hey, it was only this time last year, not that long ago, when everyone was falling all over themselves to say that Anthony Edwards was the next face of the league and that he looked like Michael Jordan and all these things. And it feels he feels further away from that now than a year ago. Even though he's right back in the Western Conference Finals, he's getting outplayed by Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's go to Johnny, who's in Atlanta. Johnny, what's up, sir?
What's going on? I was calling because OKC is built to be the next dynasty. You cannot say they're not built. They got three of the youngest stars upcoming in the NBA right now. And not only that, that GM knows how to build a team. He got so much draft assets that they could continue building with that squad. Because he know what he's doing in the draft. He already drafted four MVPs. And whether he drafted three, acquired one. And he drafted multiple All-Stars. So you cannot say they're not built to keep on winning. Because he know how to draft. That's why I say they will be the next dynasty.
Yeah, and you know,
and
Johnny, I get what you're talking about. The only thing is that Sam Presti is a phenomenal GM. He also has the gift of time. There are maybe some GMs who would not have been able to have the time to collect all that draft capital and you know what I'm saying? So he's got time, but you know, the NBA is now set up where they don't want super teams and guys being paid tons and tons of money. So it can't last forever. Just like Boston. Boston was going to the Eastern Conference Finals when they had Jaylen and Jason Tatum before they got super duper expensive. And luckily for Boston, they actually capitalized and won one.
But see, the difference is Boston didn't have the assets like the OKC, and they didn't know how to draft like OKC. Because OKC still got a lot of kids on rookie deals right now. And they haven't paid nobody except Shea. They haven't paid Chet yet. And they haven't paid Jay Will. Right. So guess what? They might trade Jay Will for more assets and continue winning with that.
Well,
so
that's unless he's
one
part
thing
of the core.
About but, Boston didn't do.
No, but well, I can't actually say that. It's been two different regimes, but you can't say Boston didn't draft well when they drafted Jaylen Brown and they hoodwinked Perloff 76ers to get Jason
good
Tatum.
They got,
I think they are a good drafting team. They're just further along down the line.
But what else after they drafted? Jason,
Peyton
Taylor
Pritchard,
Brown,
Sam Hauser. Those guys are great.
Hauser's not great.
They were two finalists for six man of the year as late round picks. That's impressive. Peyton Pritchard win.
Hauser's not six man of the year kind of guy.
Well, we got nominated for something.
The thing is, they still holding on to Al Horford, and they're trying to think Porzingis, what's his name? See, one thing about OKC, they draft big. Boston haven't drafted a good big in how many years? They hold on to old people now.
Johnny, the other thing, too, is Oklahoma City was in position to draft Chet Holmgren at two because they were not a good team and they have other people's draft picks. Boston has been one of the best teams in the league. They're not picking in the lottery. It's a little bit different. I get your point, but here's the thing. Porzingis also can't stay healthy. Chet Holmgren doesn't stay healthy. So big for big guys who have these unique skill sets who are not sure how healthy they're going to be. I totally get your point. I'm just saying I'm not denigrating Boston because they're further down the line in their team building than OKC. Yeah, the guys are literally younger in OKC. They're literally on rookie deals. Boston has two of the most expensive players in the NBA. It's just harder. But
they
get your point.
They drafted Chet number two overall, not because they were sorry. It's because they had an asset for somebody else.
Right, they have their picks and they have other people's picks. No, Johnny, I get what you're talking about. We'll see if they become the next dynasty. I want to get to our pal Jay. Thank you for the call. Jay's in Nashville. Good morning, Jay. What do you got?
Good morning. Y'all callers are coming with it this morning. Like that.
How about that?
Y'all got the smoke going. The smoke is brewing. Like they're choosing the next hope or something.
Keep it going for us. What do you have?
Well, I mean, first of all, I came in. But, well, whoever Jamie is, that you need to make that like caller of the month. You know what I mean? Because he came in with some facts. I came in halfway through the call. Y'all was talking about Perloff being a fashion icon or something like that, which immediately had me like, but
record scratch.
No matter what they say, Perloff, you better work that camera, boy. But I think y'all was talking about faces of the league, and like I said, I woke up this morning, I turned on SportsCenter, and they were talking about SGA, and I'm like, where did this kid even come from? You know
Toronto.
What I mean? And yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if you do have a clear face of the league anymore. It's a different league, especially for us Gen Xers, because it was a little bit more artistic back in our day. Anytime you got a dude driving through the lane, it's three dudes in the lane, and he's like changing air in midair, still dunking on everybody. It was more of an aggressive art form for us. So it is different. The game is different. I'm not one of them old dudes talking about the game is weak. It's not. It's just, you got more skilled players now. You know,
but you don't think Shea's artistic? I mean, listen, is anyone like Dr. J was or, you know, Jordan? But I think Shea, and there's moments when even Anthony Edwards is contorting his body, finishing lefty. Like, it's cool.
Is anyone calling for SGA to be in the dunk contest? I've never heard anyone say that.
But do you think he doesn't play in an artistic way? Now we're getting in the weeds.
No, actually, I don't. Not yet. I don't think he plays in an artistic way. I think he's kind of workmanlike. And he's close. The scale of Vince Carter to Tim Duncan being, I think he's a little closer to Tim Duncan than Vince Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's more like big fundamental. And, I mean, look, nobody said dunk contest is not important anymore. Everybody's all dunked out. You can't, unless you're doing like 720 dunks, you know what I mean? Or doing
kind of feels like we're out of ideas. I'll give you that.
We're out of ideas.
Yeah. Jay, I'm sorry. We're up against it, man. Thank you for calling. Can I bring up one other just thing to leave you guys when we go into break? And coming up next, we're going to talk about college football because I really want to get to that. You have to have a little bit of the machine behind you, even today. You got to have a great ad campaign. You've got to have something that cuts through to become the face of the league. Jordan taking off from the free throw line set to a Nike soundtrack really helped him.